anyone that is wanting to stand up on your feet in one moment, you will have 10 seconds to ask a question to the person beside you. By the end of that 10 seconds, I want everyone to be on a seat. There's plenty of seats, so girls up the back, you need to come and sit on a proper seat so you can hear properly. But here's the question that I want you to ask during these 10 seconds. The question is, what subculture grouping, what teenage subculture grouping are you part of? That is emo. I've heard of one just before called Mountain Goats. Is that a bit of a subculture? Yeah. Maybe you're a skater, maybe whatever you might be, whether you're one, just quickly talk to the person beside you, jump up on your feet, girls at the back, come and find a seat, 10 seconds.
You might be a jock, a sports person. I heard of another one recently called a North Shore Princess. They live on the North Shore, and you can imagine what they're like. They go to the private schools up there on the North Shore of Sydney, and they're princesses. That's what they've been taught for all of their lives. Every single teenager, just wants to be liked and just wants to fit in. That's why we have these subculture groupings. Now, we form them because we're all looking for somewhere where we can belong, somewhere where we can fit in, somewhere where the other people accept us, somewhere where the other people actually like us. Now, so we saw in that clip that Lisa Simpson, she was willing to go to great lengths just to be liked by some cool kids. And so she tried to do cool things that cool kids do. She didn't want to read books. She didn't want to hang out in the library inside the library. But she wanted to go hang out with the cool kids. She wanted to fit in. You here tonight want to fit in. We all want to fit in. And we'll often, just like Lisa, go to great lengths just so we can be accepted by other people. Now, sometimes in order to fit in, sometimes in order to be liked, we do things that we know we shouldn't. We'll succumb to peer pressure. You know, all the others in my group are doing this, and I know I probably shouldn't, but I'll do it because I don't want to be left out, because I want to be part of it. I want to be liked. I want to be part of the group. Now, if you're a Christian, this is a big problem. Because you know that Christians are to live differently from the rest of the world. Christians are to be people who are different. And so, to do stupid stuff to fit in, to do stupid stuff so that other people can like you, is not really how you will want to live as a Christian. And it's not how God wants you to live as a Christian. And so the question tonight is, what's going to help you? This is going to be a really practical time as we look at John 15. What is going to help you to be different from your friends in your little group who do stupid things? What's going to help you to be different? What's going to help you to not succumb to peer pressure? To not do the stupid things that other people are doing on Friday nights? What's going to help you? So the big question is, I want you to remember this, because we'll keep thinking about it as we look at the Bible together now. What will keep you from the temptation of being light? You got the question? What will keep you from the temptation of being light? And so we're going to look at John 15. Make sure you can see a Bible. Make sure you can follow along in the Bible as we look at it. And in order to understand this, we're going to need to first of all, we're going to find out two big truths that are really clear in tonight's passage. If you didn't pick them up on the first time we read through it, you'll definitely pick it up now as we read through it together again. The first big truth, and if you've got an outline there, you might want to fill in the gaps if that helps you to concentrate. Feel free to do that. But the first big truth is the world hates Jesus. You got that? The first big truth there is that the world hates Jesus. And the second big truth, if the first one didn't mean much to you, the second one will. The second big truth is that the world hates followers of Jesus. If you're a Christian, the world hates you, is what the Bible is going to say to us tonight. Have a look at it again. We're going to look at John chapter 15, and I'm going to read to you from verse 18. Make sure you can see a Bible. If you can't see a Bible, listen carefully. Verse 18, it says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. The world hates Jesus, and the world hates Jesus' followers, the people that Jesus is speaking to. Have a look at verse 19. If you belong to this world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why what the world hates you. If you're a follower of Jesus, it's normal for the world not to like you. It's normal for the world to hate you. Have a look at the next verse, verse 20. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, the world hates Jesus, they will persecute you also. If they obey my teaching, they will obey yours also. You see what it's saying? You're not greater than your master Jesus. If Jesus, the Lord of the universe, the one who we follow, suffered, was hated, those who follow him will also be hated, will also be persecuted, will also suffer. Have a look at verse 21. They will treat me this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. They don't know Jesus. They don't know God, so they hate him. Have a look at verse 22. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. Verse 23, he who hates me hates my Father as well. Okay, the world hates Jesus. Keep going. Verse 24, if I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law, they hated me without reason. You see what Jesus is saying? Jesus comes down as the Lord of the universe. He does incredible things. He heals the sick. He makes the blind see. He brings a dead girl back to life. He feeds 5,000 people out of someone's plate lunch. And they hate him. Well, they hate him for no reason whatsoever. Which miracle do they hate him for? Is it that he helps people? Is it that he is... why do they hate him? They actually hate him for no reason. 2,000 years ago, if you haven't heard this before, the Lord of the universe, the King of the universe, the Creator of the universe, stepped onto our planet to come and save it. The person who comes to save the world steps onto the planet. And do you know what they did 2,000 years ago? Let's kill him! Yeah, let's kill him! Crucify him! They killed the Creator of the universe. They hated Jesus for no real reason. What did he ever do wrong? Nothing. He lived the perfect life. But it wasn't just 2,000 years ago that people hated Jesus. You might have friends, or you might be one of those people here tonight, but you just hate Jesus. You know, you came along because you're trying to pick up on some chick or something tonight. I don't know why you've come here. But there's people in our world today who hate Jesus for no real reason. They've never met him. They've never read his word. They don't really have a reason to hate him. How many of you have ever been on the YouTube? Yeah, ever seen a video on YouTube? Keep your hand up if you've seen Christian videos on YouTube. Yeah. Sometimes when you see some of those Christian videos, some things that are about Jesus, or some things that are about Jesus' followers,
The really popular ones, do you know what happens in the comments down the bottom? I don't know if you've read them.
Don't. They're not great to read. What do people say about Jesus?
What do people say about Jesus' followers? They swear, they curse, they say all sorts of terrible things for no real reason. People hate Jesus,
and if you're a follower of Jesus, the world hates you. Two big truths. The world hates Jesus, and the world hates the followers of Jesus. And it's tempting to try and not be hated. It's tempting to try and fit in and to be liked rather than to be hated. It's tempting to wear the right clothes. It's tempting to do the right drugs. It's tempting to listen to the right music. I remember at school, I never told people that I listened to R&B because it wasn't cool to listen to R&B in a surfing type of culture. It wasn't until after school that I started listening to R&B again, and I'm accepted for that now. But we do all sorts of things to try and be liked. You know, no one here wakes up in the morning and says, man, I want to be hated today. Who does that? No one does that. We wake up in the morning, whether you say it or not, we just think, I just want to fit in. I just want to be liked. I just want to be accepted by other people. You know, it's normal that if you're a Christian, the world will hate you. That your friends who don't know Jesus, they may start to hate you. Now, just a quick aside, there might be people here tonight who are hated, but it's not because you're Christian that you're hated, it's because you're a jerk. Don't confuse the two things. You've been an idiot at school, you're speaking to your friends in bad ways, you're getting your Bible and whacking it on people's heads, you're doing crazy things. If you've been a jerk, people might hate you for that. Okay, that's not why we're to be hated, because we're jerks. We're to be hated because we belong to Jesus. And so we don't make it our aim to be hated, but we also don't make it our number one aim to be liked. And so what we're going to look at very quickly now is four things. Four things for when we're tempted to be liked. Because if you're a Christian here tonight, the temptation will come up time and time again. The further on you get in high school, the more temptations you'll have to stop being a Christian, to give up following Jesus. And so we're going to look at here four things. Four things on what we can do to avoid that temptation of being liked, to avoid trying to fit in, to avoid trying to listen to the voice of peer pressure. Have a look at chapter 16, verse 1. Chapter 16, verse 1 of John. It says, all of this I have told you so that you will not go astray. Jesus wants us to know this stuff. Jesus wants us to know we're going to be hated. Okay, so we won't turn away from Jesus. So we will still keep trusting Jesus. And so of the four things, the first one is, don't be shocked when people hate you. As if it's a surprise. Jesus said it 2,000 years ago. You will be hated if you're a follower of me. Followers of Jesus will be hated. And some of them may even be killed. Have a look at chapter 16, verse 2. They will put you out of the synagogue. That was sort of like a church 2,000 years ago. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. There's people who may even die because they're Christians. There's thousands of people who have actually died because they're a Christian. Hear this tonight. Don't be shocked when people hate you. Listen to the word of Jesus tonight and be ready for when that person you thought was your friend starts to hate you because you're a Christian. Don't be shocked when people hate you. There's the first one. The second thing to do when tempted to be liked is to not give up on Jesus. Do not give up on Jesus. Keep trusting him. You know, when you're tempted to turn away from Jesus, when you're tempted to fall in love with the world, when you're tempted to be liked rather than to be Christian, look at the cross. Look at the cross where Jesus died. Because you know what Jesus did on that cross? He died for the world that killed him. John 3:16, the world hates Jesus. What does Jesus do to the world? He puts his arms out and he has nails pierced through his hands. Just a couple of chapters after this, a few chapters time, Jesus will be crucified. He dies on the cross in our place. He dies on the cross in your place. As Jesus hangs there, bleeding, suffocating, dying, he is taking upon himself what we deserve. He's lived the perfect life, we haven't. He didn't sin, we have. And so when Jesus dies on the cross, he dies for sin. And he cries out from that cross. You may remember the words later on in John's Gospel. He says, "It is finished." You know, as we look at the cross of Jesus, as we reflect on the death and resurrection of our Saviour, we need to be reminded not to give up on him. He did that for us. He went to the cross for us. And you know what? Jesus says that if you're going to follow him, you're not going to have an easy time. You may have heard a lie like that. You may have heard it in a church before. Hey, come to Jesus and life will be fantastic. God will make you rich. God will make you happy. Well, Jesus is saying, no, the world's going to hate you. Life's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy as a Christian. The City to Surf is a running race that happens every year in about August. Who's ever been there? About 15 people have been in the City to Surf. Anyone got under an hour? Wow, we've got one, two, we've got 200 now. Now, is there about, how many people, about 50, 60, 1,000 people that go to the City to Surf? Is about that? 50,000 people run to the City to Surf. I want you to imagine, everyone to imagine you're in the city of Sydney. Okay, there's 50,000 people lined up that way. A big jungle of people. You're on the start line, you're at the very front. Everyone's facing that way. Can you imagine it? You're at the front, ready to just run your life. Okay, I want you to turn around. As the starter's gun goes, I want you to run in the opposite direction. Can you imagine doing that? Being the only person of 50,000 people going that way, when the other 49,999 people are going that way, it'll be tough. It'll be difficult. That's a picture of the Christian life. The world is going that way. Your friends are going that way. They want you to live that way. Jesus says, no, be different. You're going the opposite direction. Life will be tough. You'll be hated. But keep trusting Jesus. You know, you may have heard about Jesus before, or maybe you've heard about Jesus tonight for the first time. Let me encourage you, if you haven't got your trust in Jesus, if you aren't following him seriously, tonight could be a good night to put your trust in Jesus. To say, sorry God, I've sinned. To say, thank you God that Jesus died in my place. And to say, please God, now help me to live for Jesus. That might be something you need to do tonight. And if that is you, come and see me. See the leader, see the friend that brought you tonight. That could be a good thing for you to do tonight. But there's the second thing. Don't give up on Jesus. When you're tempted to be liked, don't give up on Jesus. The third thing, this is a really exciting thing. The third thing is to know your citizenship. To know your citizenship, what does that mean? It means to know where you belong. Know where your home is. You see, Australia, New South Wales, Mountain Goat Territory, know what we're going up here? This is not your home. This is not your home. Your home is somewhere else. Have a look at verse 19 again. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. You see, we don't belong to the world. We don't belong to the world. In Hebrews chapter 10, you don't need to look it up, but in Hebrews chapter 10, the writer of the letter, he's reminding the Christians of what they were like when they first became Christian. And it says that they were joyfully accepting the plundering of their property. That is, they became Christian, and then all these other guys came in and stole their stuff. And they're like, yes! Why were they like, yes? They were, yes, because they knew, it says in Hebrews chapter 10, that their citizenship was elsewhere. That is, that their bed that was stolen, their Xbox that was stolen, their makeup that was stolen. You know what? They've got a more lasting possession in heaven, is what Hebrews chapter 10 says. We are called to be different. We are called to know that this isn't our citizenship. This isn't where we live. This isn't where we belong. But we belong with Jesus and his people in his place. Now, who likes camping? Anyone like camping? Show us your hand. Throw a hand up in the air if you like camping. Okay, just throw a hand up if you don't like camping. Okay, I don't like camping. When I go camping, I get dirt in my bed. Okay, I get sunburned really easily, and so when you go in the middle of summer, like I'm hiding under a tarpaulin that's got like 30 centimetres cube square of shade, and I'm trying to hide there and not get sunburned. You get like sand all through your bed. You have to pack up the tents at the end. It's really uncomfortable. When we go to sleep, we've got this air mattress, and I sort of sink to the bottom and hit the ground, and it's really uncomfortable. Ro has a great night's sleep because it's all up in the air for her. But I hate camping. But you know the thing I love about camping? It reminds me that this isn't my home. Because there's a sense in which we're all camping right now. We're all actually in a tent. This isn't the real thing. This isn't our home. This isn't our citizenship. This isn't even our planet. We belong to another place, to another person. Our allegiance is to another king. You know, when you're tempted to be liked, remember that this isn't your home. Remember that this isn't your citizenship. You're not at home with your emo friends, your punk rockin' friends, your skating friends, your jock friends, etc. Your real home and your real belonging is with Jesus and with his people. The fourth and final thing that we're to do when we're tempted to be liked by the world is not to trust. Keep trusting in Jesus. But it's to rejoice. It's to rejoice in Jesus. Joy will get you a long, long way. Paul says in Philippians 4, to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say it again, rejoice in the Lord. You know, the early disciples, the early followers of Jesus, they knew how to rejoice in the Lord. In Acts chapter 5, when we get this scene where Jesus' first followers, they tell people about Jesus, okay? And then they get brought in by all the officials and say, guys, stop talking about Jesus. And they go, sorry, we can't help it. They leave, they go talk about Jesus, they get dragged in before the courts again. Guys, stop talking about Jesus. Sorry, we can't. They leave, they get dragged in again for telling people about Jesus. They go, guys, stop talking about Jesus. And they say, no, sorry, we can't. And so what they do is the officials in Acts chapter 5, they whip them, they beat them, they basically beat the pulp out of them. They do a bit of a Jason Bourne on them. And do you know what the disciples say on their way out of the court? They rejoice because they were considered worthy to suffer disgrace for Jesus' name. Here's these guys who've just been beaten to a pulp. They're not ringing 000. They're not ringing dial a camel. They're not ringing any of those things. I don't know if they had dial a camel back then. I think they just went, camel, camel, help! And a camel would come over and they get put on the camel. They didn't do that. They rejoice that they were considered worthy to suffer disgrace for Jesus. There was a guy I learned about in the last week, in the year AD 110. Now, he was an early follower of Jesus. He was sort of an official in the church. His name was Ignatius of Antioch. And so they brought this guy before the Romans, and the Romans sentenced him to death in the arena with the lions. Okay, and they thought, let's make an example of this guy, Ignatius. And so they wanted to bring him before. But do you know what Ignatius did? He was excited. And so as they brought him along, he's telling people about Jesus. He's saying, come along, I'm going to get eaten by some lions. And he was genuinely excited to suffer disgrace for Jesus. He was genuinely joyful. Because he knew where his home was. He knew where his real hope was. You know, when we suffer, in Romans chapter 5, it says that we are to be joyful. Why? Because joy leads to perseverance. Perseverance leads to character. Character leads to hope. You know, when you struggle, when people hate you, you get reminded that this is not it. There is more to life. You can be joyful even when you suffer. You know, it might sound crazy. It might sound very different from the world. But we can rejoice. Even in the hard times. That we are friends with Jesus. Now, as I close, I want to introduce you to one of my friends. I don't have many. Okay, this is my friend here. Check this little bad boy out. Wait, not only is this guy wrapped up in a box, but he can speak through that box. Wait, shh.
Where are you?
Where are you?
Go.
Oh.
Who's seen Napoleon Dynamite?
Okay, about 9/10 of us have seen Napoleon Dynamite. Now, Napoleon Dynamite, he's my friend, and he's not afraid to be different. You know what I mean? He's not afraid to be the odd one out. You know, he did things that other people wouldn't. He didn't always go around and try to do things so that he would be liked. Yeah? He was willing to be different. And so at the end of the movie, if you can remember it, he's there, he's bailing his friend out, and he's on the stage, he's about to dance. All the eyes are on Napoleon Dynamite as he stands there. He cuts loose with one of the best dancers ever. Now, it was crazy. Sometimes it feels like all the eyes are on us. You know, we live differently. We think we look crazy because we're different. We think we look weird because we don't drink alcohol like our other friends at 15 years of age. People think we're weird when we don't sleep with our boyfriend or girlfriend at the age of 16. People think that's weird. People think it's weird that you're here tonight. People think it's here you go to youth group normally on a Friday night or a Sunday or whenever your youth group is. People think it's weird that you read the Bible. People think it's weird that you pray to God. You know what? You may feel a bit weird. You may feel a bit crazy. You may feel a little bit left out. You may feel like people don't like you. You may feel like people hate you. But remember where you now belong. You don't belong in this world. You belong with Jesus and his people. What was that question from the start that I wanted you to remember? What is it that's going to keep you from the temptation of being liked? What is it that's going to keep you from the temptation of being liked? It's knowing where you really belong. It's knowing where you really belong. I want to encourage you tonight because as I meet lots of you guys, and as I meet different Christians, teenagers around Sydney, I actually see people who are willing to be different. And I'm sure as I get to meet some more of you tonight, I'll meet people who are being different. So as we talk about these things, don't be discouraged if you are being different. If you are not trying to be liked by the world by being cool all the time. You know, there's youth groups all over the place. In the youth group I used to run, we had some pretty strange kids that came along. Do you know why they came along? Because the Christian community was the only place they were accepted. As they heard of the love of Jesus, as they met Jesus' people who loved them as well, they were hooked in as well. So let me encourage you to keep being different, to keep including others in, and to keep being one who is not tempted, or when you're tempted, you're fleeing the opposite direction of being liked by the world. Don't be surprised when you're hated. Don't give up on Jesus. Know your citizenship and rejoice. Let me pray. Our gracious God, we thank you so much that you speak to us in the Bible, and we thank you, Jesus, for your word to us 2,000 years ago. We thank you that you told us this, that we wouldn't go astray. We pray that you would help us to take this word seriously, that we wouldn't succumb to peer pressure, but that we would trust you, that we wouldn't be surprised when we're hated, that we wouldn't give up on Jesus when it's easy, that we would know our citizenship is with you, and that like many who have gone before us, we would rejoice in Jesus, in the good times and in the bad times. Please help us as different youth groups to support one another in this. Please help us to spur one another on, to keep being different. And we pray for all these things in the name of our King, the Lord Jesus, who died and rose again. Amen.